she was. I believe she was 65 or something like that. And so here they were, and he said, who against hope believed in hope. He said that even though this stuff looks like it can't happen to me and it's unreal to me, I still believe that God can do exactly what he said. So even, he said, because his body, let's go on a little further. He said who against hope believed in hope according to that which was what? Spoken. What is important? When you want spiritual stability, you got to know what's been spoken. You can't just go off on a whim and start talking about, I believe God going to do this. Did he say that? We do have to become more specific in the church. We, you know, in this the last 25 years, people have been told to call it and haul it, grab it and blab it, name it and claim it. And we use these scriptures right here because we say, call those things that be not as though they were. No, you got to say it. If God has called, who did he say call those things? He said God called those things. He didn't say you just go call something. He said whatever God said, you said what God said, then whatever God said will happen. The truth is a fact because everything that be is because of the word. Right? In the beginning was the what? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And was not anything made that was made without the Word. Amen. So it's the Word. And it's not, you know, because sometimes I can think of something and it may not even be what God said. And we gotta know that every thought you think is not always God's thoughts. Right? Sometimes you gotta eject some of that stuff because you know it ain't God. It may be a good idea sometime, but is it a God idea? Sometimes it might be, in our eyes, the right thing to do, but is it God's thing? Right? So we have to really be led of the Spirit of God. Amen? It might be right for me to defend myself and say something to somebody or go off. It might be right because I reserve that right as a human being to express myself. But God may say, don't say a word. And then what? You don't say a word, then God turn around and turn that whole situation. Because he said, a soft answer do what? Turns away wrath. You know, so we have to become stable in the word of God. We know what we want to know, but we need to know what God wants us to know. Amen. And so it was God who quickens the dead and who made Abraham believe. Abraham's, the source of his faith was that God was a living God, that he was omnipotent, that he was omniscient, that he possessed all power, and he breathed the breath of life into dead matters because he says, and being not weak in faith, consider not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look, in other words, he said Abraham kept acting out in faith to get the promise that God had given him. For 25 years, he kept going to Sarah's bedroom. Y'all get that? For 25 years, he kept going and did not consider the deadness. He didn't consider, what did it say? He did not consider his own body now what? Dead. Even though he might have felt it, he didn't consider it dead. You may feel something, but you can't consider it. You need to consider what God said. He said, now, not only did he not consider his own body dead, but he was 100 years old, but he said, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, her inability to be able to have a baby, didn't faze his faith. That is such a powerful thing that when you look at and you know something is just dead, and then you say, I know it's dead, but God said.
Amen.
When you look at it and you say, I know it's dead, but God said. Come here, Ezekiel. Let me borrow Ezekiel for a moment. Ezekiel was gone. They took him through the valley. And I know we're off a little bit on this, but we're still talking about being spiritually stable. He was taken in the spirit, and he went, and he was shown a valley of dry bones. He got up close. He saw them. He saw what state they were in. And when he got even closer, he said, not only are they dry, but they were very dry. They had no hope. They were withering away. The sun had scorched them. And then God asked the question to Ezekiel, said, can these bones live? Ezekiel says what? God, you know it. He was saying, God, you are the power. You are the source. You are the all-knowing. And if you say they can, they can. The problem with us human beings today is that we put too much trust in everything else. We put too much trust in opinions.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana. 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Dr. Montgomery will be celebrating his 64th birthday on January the 18th. And on January 28th, the fourth Sunday, he will celebrate his 35th preaching anniversary at the Greater King David Baptist Church. One church ministering in two locations, 7305 Harry Drive and 222 Blood Road. If Dr. Montgomery has been a blessing to you through the preaching, teaching ministry of God, you can bless him by Cash App or mail. Cash App address is $DrJEM2. $DrJEM2. Or send check or money order to Greater King David Corporate Office, 911 Lobdale Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Help us celebrate this great man of God.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Hebrews chapter 12. And I don't know where I'm going to stop, but let me just read verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, being the best you can be. Being the best you can be. The writer of the Hebrews is suggesting to us that we have witnesses and we have examples who have gone on before us that challenges us to meet the high standard that God has set for the believer. To understand that trials, troubles, problems, issues, sicknesses, and other things will come to you to bring out the best in you so that God can tune and tweak you to be the best that you can be. It's about seeing you the way God sees you. It's about understanding the purpose of God for your life and understanding that you were made for His glory, that you were made to make His praise glorious, that you were made to give Him the glory and honor due His name through your life. He didn't give you your life for you. He gave you your life for Him. You were created in His image and in His likeness to have the fullness of Him inside of you to be and to become everything He wanted your life to be. He purposed you to be you, to be different from anyone else, to be what He has called you to be. He has tempered you to be able to deal with and to handle every situation that comes before your life because of who He made you to be. Excuse me. When the believer begins to understand God's purpose for his or her life, and when they recognize the issues that come against them are ordained by God, that God Himself, through those things, is using them to perfect you, make you the best you that you can be, then you'll stop pouting and start praising. You'll stop questioning God as if God does not know what's happening to you, does not know what is going on with you, does not know what you're dealing with. You'll stop questioning God as if to say, God, do you know who I am? Do you know my strengths and my abilities, and I'm not able to handle what I'm dealing with right now, and you promised you wouldn't put more on me than I could bear? God, this appears to be more than I could handle. Not so, not so, not so. But the truth of the matter is, God wants you to realize you are stronger and better than you know yourself, and it's going to take these things to bring it out you. I want to show you three things in this verse. Simple things that the writer of the Hebrew wants us to realize. First of all, he brings to mind a record of witnesses. He reminds us of a record of witnesses. He says, wherefore seeing. Now, these two words are so important. If you miss these two, you're going to probably miss the rest of what's going on in this verse. Wherefore seeing, listen, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, writer, what witnesses are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Back up to the 11th chapter. And we call it the Hero of Faith, the Faith's Hall of Fame. And you'll see it includes these heroes of faith, these men and women who have gone through troubles and trials, tests and situations, circumstances, and all sorts of things that would seem to be ungodly and unrighteous, but God gave them the ability to go through, to bring them into a different place, to mature them, to develop them, and to make them what they ought to be. So much so that if you have any question, just read chapter 11, starting with Abel, and you'll walk all the way through and see all of the witnesses of faith that God has challenged, that God has used, that God has caused to go through things that none had ever gone through before. Deal with things that others had never dealt with before. Many of them were the first of their own experiences. And their faith brought them through. God, through their situations and challenges, made them who they were. And for the believer today, you need to know that these are witnesses for us. See, why is the writer saying that? Because too many Christians are weak and fearful and whiny and fretful and baby-like and act like they don't know the power of God, like there's no one that they can look to even begin to understand their situation and their plight. But here in the word, the record is seeing we have these witnesses. So what does it say? All you got to do is look back through those witnesses, and I promise you, you'll find somebody that has gone through something worse than you're going through. And if they're going through what they've gone through and made it out of it, God is saying, you can do the same thing. That's the reason they're witnesses for you. That's the reason they're there for you, so that you will have a record of witnesses who have already gone through and more than what you're going through. So a record of witnesses. Whenever you get to that point where you just feel like throwing in the towel and waving the white flag of surrender, whenever you get to that point where you done cried your eyes out and it just seemed like no help is near, whenever you get to that point where it's like nobody you can tell because nobody understands, whenever you get to that point where you feel like you're so sick and don't know what to do, all you got to do is check out the witnesses who have been there before you, did that, and now are in the Hall of Fame because their faith did not fail them. A record of witnesses. Why are they there? To help us. But we've got to see them. Wherefore, seeing. That word, continually processing the situation of sight. Seeing. That means you can't just use it one time, because you ain't gonna just have issues one time. That's why the word is not given to us and disappears after one time. It's there for us to go back to over and over and over again. And every time you go back to it, it gets deeper and deeper and reveals more and more and shows us more and more, because as we continue to see, God shows us more. How many of you read something the first time, didn't understand, and went back, read again, and started understanding a little more, read it again, understand a little more, kept on going back and kept on seeing more? Any witnesses in the house? You don't know all there is to know about the Word of God. But the more you go back and the more you see, the more God will show you over and over again. Wherefore, seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the second thing he says for us to do, I see in the text, he makes clear as he talks about this issue of weights. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. So now he's talking about the reality of weights. What is the reality of weights? I'm glad you asked. Weights hold you down. Weights add to your load. Weight makes things heavier. Weights carry more than you are required to carry. And so notice here, this is put actually in a training modem here, because what it literally talks about are athletes who train for the Olympics, who use weights to add to their bodies to help build their muscles up, their strength up, their stamina up, their speed up. They wear the weights in training to weigh them down, to grab force and add more force against their pulling and their struggling to make the muscles work harder and to get the optimal performance out of all of the muscle groups. So the weights are there to add to them the resistance that's necessary to give greater strength and stamina and speed to the athlete. But listen at this. They only practice with the weights. They don't run the weight, run the race with the weights. They continue, listen, day after day after day until their body gets adjusted to the weights, and the weights then begin to seem like they're not even there, and then they add more weights to build up more resistance, and all the while building up their strength, building up their stamina, building up their speed. But there is a purpose to that. It's training so that they can endure the race. You see, my brothers and sisters, what you don't understand is, like that in this world, we are encumbered with weights. All sorts of weights. Little weights, big weights, light weights, heavy weights. Weights that we know are there, weights that we do not know are there. But nonetheless, they weigh us down. And he's dealing with this issue because the believer has got to understand that we are in a race. This world is not our home. We're here for a limited time. We have a purpose while we are here, and we are preparing for heaven. So this is our training ground. And so while these weights are on us, we are learning from these weights. And when we learn the lesson of these weights, we lay these weights aside. No longer do we need to carry them when we have gotten the benefits of having had the weights. We're not to live with the weights, we're to train with the weights. And once we have reached the optimal training, the weights no longer do us any good. Listen, listen. So many believers don't understand that there are some weights we are carrying. Once we have learned the lesson of the weights, we no longer need to carry those weights. Lay them aside. They're not doing you any good anymore. Because you reach a point there where your muscles have optimized and gotten the best of the benefit of it, and it reaches a point of no more benefit. Well, when it reaches a point of no more benefit, what's the use in carrying it? And some of us don't realize the enemy puts weights on us, and we are weighted down as victims. Enemy has thrown weights on us, and we will have weights thrown on us as victims. Need you to know that. There are weights the enemy puts on us. We didn't ask for weights that the enemy throws on us, that we discover we've been weighted down but don't know why, because we've not done those things to know why we were weighted down. But when we discover why we're weighted down, it's our responsibility to lay that weight aside. Listen, once you lay that weight aside, you can no longer be placed in the position of being a victim again. If you allow the weight to come back on you, you're no longer a victim, but a volunteer. And some of us need to realize we're bearing weights not as victims, but as volunteers. Listen, when I know better, it's my responsibility to do better. I'm no longer a victim because I have seen the light. And if I've seen the light, I no longer walk in darkness. If I no longer walk in darkness, I no longer need the weight. So I've got to lay the weight aside. If I keep on carrying the weight, I'm simply a volunteer. See, people, you got to come to the reality of weights and understand, if you carry the weight of being misused, the first time you're misused, you're a victim. I'm about to knock on somebody's door now. But the next time you are done wrong, mistreated, misused, and abused, you're no longer a victim, you're a volunteer. See, because the first time could have been a mistake. The first time could have been a mishap. The first time could have been a slip. But if it happens again, it ain't going to be what you think is going to be. See, because after then, I'm no longer a volunteer. Listen at this, and I'm serious about this. I'm sincere about this. God has not put you anywhere to be victimized, especially as a child of God. You got to go through some things, yes. You're going to have some issues and some differences, yes. But you've got to know the difference between difference and being victimized. Now, I think you can apply that where it needs to be applied. Notice here, he deals with the reality of weights, and then he connects the conjunction in the word and to the sin. The sin. The sin that doth so easily beset us. Now let me say this while you're sitting here in church looking holy and pious and saintly and godly and all of that good stuff, and you all of that, that's true, but don't act like you ain't got a sin. When David got to praying and he had confessed all his sins, he said, Lord, let me be real with you, I got some secret sins. And every one of us deal with a secret sin. It's so secret we try to hide it from ourselves. We only look at it when we're by ourselves or with the sharer of our secret sin. It ain't a sin we want to publish. It isn't a sin we want to share and talk about. It isn't a sin that would make us look good. It's a sin that would deflower our morals and bring down our character. It's a sin that readily takes us off of our soapbox, off of our high pedal. It's a sin that makes folks see I ain't holy 24/7. It's a sin I can't be around too long because I get weak like Kryptonite to Superman. It's a sin
that if it's around, I got to get from around it, because all of the symptoms of that sin start showing on me. My palms get sweaty. My brow gets sweaty. My liver starts quivering. My feet get light. And I start acting funny. Can't keep my seat. You know I'm talking about the seat.